Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. A viral video showing a mob beat the ever-living crap out of a guy who attacked a woman. Now, it is believed this video is new. It may not be. It may not be. But it's not the first story we've heard about vigilantes rising in New York because the police don't do anything. And it's been this way for some time. But the stories about women getting attacked are getting pretty serious. Now, of course, we had that viral article where this woman wrote that it was MAGA's fault that men are punching women in the face. And by all means, we can talk about the irony of many women voting for Democrat policies, which explicitly state they will release criminals, and then getting shocked and upset when releasing criminals results in more crime. It is a bit ironic that your utopian policies have resulted in conflict and chaos for you. But the reality of what's going to happen is you will get vigilantes. There's no other way around it. In this video, a guy hits a woman, which we've been seeing consistently for months now, and then one by one, bystanders just start beating the crap out of this dude. It's crazy. But the stories coming out of New York are getting much more worrisome. It's not just about guys punching women in the face. Look, I think there's a humor in the irony of women getting hit. And to varying degrees, it's not so serious. No, hold on. I don't think it's funny explicitly that like a guy hits a woman. Of course not. And that's what many of these leftists and conservatives wanted to play it up as. Now, what's funny is the irony. It's not Schadenfreude. Do you guys know what Schadenfreude is? Schadenfreude is pain, is pleasure derived from the pain of your enemies. So it's like watching someone you don't like get hurt makes you feel good. This is not that. I had a tweet where I said I think it's funny that women are getting punched in the face. It's a specific reference to women who are claiming these policies will make the city better, demanding them, voting for them, and then reaping the benefits of their own actions. It's consequences. But it's irony, which is a form of humor. Now, let's be real. I don't want anybody getting hit. I don't want anybody getting hurt. I think this is a harsh lesson. You vote to release criminals, these things will happen. But now it's getting scary, okay? And this is actually a story from March. From a month ago. I think people need to realize the severity of how bad things are in New York. And nobody thinks it's funny that they've been shoving people in front of trains, shooting people. There was one story from a couple years ago where a guy was crossing the street with his little girl, his daughter, and a car drives up and shoots him. And we got this story. Man burned woman with hot water in unprovoked Manhattan attack. You're not safe walking the streets. Now, I think the issue we have here is that everybody lives in a bias bubble. And that is, people in New York, these liberals, oh, I love this one. There was this video during lockdown where this guy films himself going, what's going on? Everybody says that the city's in trouble and it's locked down, but I can do whatever I want, and gloating about it. And this guy was in a rich neighborhood. So what happens is the uppity, well-to-do liberals who write these blogs are like, oh, I've walked the streets and I've never had a thing happen to me, as they walk the Upper West Side surrounded by their police. Granted, many of these women are actually now getting hit, and this is why they're getting so angry. No! I will not face the consequences of my vote! Now, ain't nobody want to see this happen. Man burned woman with hot water in unprovoked attack. Check this out. Police at the attack near West 35th Street and 8th Avenue on Wednesday morning appeared to be unprovoked. It happened when the suspect, identified as 42-year-old Larry Martin, walked by the 27-year-old woman. Martin and the woman did not know each other. I think that that's appalling, and it gives the city a bad name. Gee, you wonder? If she's a tourist, she probably won't come back again. Hopefully, she's okay. She was treated for minor injuries all over her body and was expected to be okay. This is horrifying. Someone, take a look at this. We have this from Atlanta Black Star. New York City man accused of dousing four women with scalding hot water in random attacks smiles broadly during unsettling court appearance. Look, Daniel Penny is facing jail. You've got the National Guard deployed, checking people's bags, and I'll tell you why. Many people are wondering why it is that these criminals are allowed to roam free. They're beating women in the streets. They're scalding them now with scalding water. But on the subway, they're going to search little old granny's bag, make sure you don't got any weapons. It's obvious. New York City fears the same thing I do. For different reasons. They fear vigilante justice. There was already a guy, what was it, back in November, fired a gun in the subway because some guy was robbing some woman. They're going to lock him up. Don't worry about it. I don't recommend firing a gun in the subway, by the way. Not that I know what you should do. Don't look at me. I'm not the expert on how these things should be dealt with. I don't have good answers for what New York should be doing other than perhaps enforcing the law and having police arrest people and keeping them in jail. But where we are now, it's getting absolutely crazy. They search your bags to make sure you do not get another Daniel Penny. Or, what was that guy's name? Oh, man, let me make sure I get it. I can't believe, I forgot the, Bernie Goetz. That was his name. Bernard Goetz. He was the guy in 1984, was on a train, said some dudes were shaking him down, so he shot him. And apparently said some brutal things, but people cheered for him. He was an anti-hero. Apparently he shot a dude. The guy was on the ground and he's like, you don't look so bad. And then shot him again. And people cheered for it. That's crazy. They cheered for it. Nah. Look, man, you don't want to cheer for this kind of thing when society starts breaking down in this way. What you want to, I get why people were happy. Crime was rampant. Like these dudes who were involved in this conflict admitted they were actually on their way to go commit a robbery or something like that. I want to be careful here because I don't have all the details pulled up. But people cheered for it. This guy, Larry Martin, dressed in an orange inmate jumpsuit, made his first appearance March 28th and smiled gleefully at photographers during his arraignment before Manhattan criminal court judge Curtis J. Farber, who denied bail. Finally, someone's denied bail. But the funny thing is, you had these people in Long Island found with blood and guts in their drains, body parts strewn about, and they were released. Yeah. They said, it's not bail eligible. You're free to go. And at first I thought not bail eligible meant you will not receive bail. You're going to jail. What it really meant was they were not eligible for being held. Interesting. Unbothered, Martin maintained the smiling expression throughout the entire proceeding and even appeared to laugh as he was let out in handcuffs. Martin did not appear to have an attorney at the hearing, and he did not appear to enter a plea. It was not clear if Martin intended his unsettling smile as a protest, but the case against him was no laughing matter. His arrogant manner in the courtroom contradicted the serious nature of the charges, including four counts each of second-degree assault and first-degree attempted assault in connection with the frightening series of unprovoked attacks during the March 6 morning commute. So this guy just decided to go randomly go around splashing people with scalding hot water. The first of four attacks was reported at 7:10 a.m. when a man was severely burned at East 44th Street and Lexington Avenue. I thought I said it was four women. Where a suspect splashed hot water on the victim's head and neck. Half an hour later, a 49-year-old woman was attacked by the same suspect at the corner of 6th Avenue. where the unwitting victim was hit with a scalding liquid in the face before she had time to react. Authorities said she sustained severe burns and hearing loss. The serial splasher struck next at 8:15 a.m. outside the Times Square subway station at the southeast corner of 7th Avenue and West 42nd Street, where a 45-year-old woman was met with hot liquid to the face. The last attack occurred at 8:40 a.m. when the suspect flung scalding water onto a 27-year-old woman's chest and hands at West 35th Street and 8th Avenue. All the victims are expected to fully recover. Previous reports revealed that Martin is a homeless man with connections to a Brooklyn shelter. He underwent a mental health evaluation at a local hospital following his arrest and could later factor into his prosecution. He had been arrested twice before. Surprise, surprise. Once in August 2021 for allegedly assaulting a 70-year-old man in Queens, and again in 2022 when he was taken into custody in connection with the same incident. Now, hold on. He was never prosecuted and the case remains unsolved. That's what they say. Innocent until proven guilty. I'll give him that. Seriously, I think it's important. But you arrest a guy like this, this is the point of bail hearings. If it is a violent crime and you have a preponderance of evidence, I think it's fair we hold you. I do. I'm not a fan of cash bail. You've got to have a hearing, but you can't just release violent criminals. Now, as for people who are accused the first time, I look at it this way. If you've never been accused of a crime, we can talk about bail, but it's got to be a bail hearing. They got to present a preponderance of evidence that you're a violent threat. If it is your first case, and they have a preponderance of evidence that you're a violent threat, clearly visible like on video, I think it's fair to say no bail. You go to jail. We hold you. But for many instances, I think it is fair to say people should not be locked up until you can prove it on the first go around. If you've got multiple arrests, I think at this point, the preponderance of evidence is you're a criminal. Last week, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg vowed Martin would pay for his alleged crimes while expressing sympathy for his victims. Well, it doesn't matter. This is the fear. Vigilante justice. Look at this group. They just start railing on this guy. A crowd of New Yorkers were filmed banding together against a man seen punching a woman in a seemingly random attack. The attack occurred on 14th and 7th Avenue and was caught on camera by an apartment dweller overhead. It comes amid a rash of reports of women being assaulted on the streets. Though in this case, the attack was thwarted by a group of complete strangers. I said this was going to happen. You're going to see a rise in vigilantism. And then what are they going to do about it? Well, like Daniel Penny, they'll probably try to hunt down and arrest the vigilantes. It won't matter. Where we are headed in this country, maybe it's on purpose to destroy it. The left already does not recognize the government. You have roving gangs taking over city streets like we saw on the Bay Bridge a few days ago. And now you've got vigilantes. And the vigilantes don't seem to be organized. It's just regular people realizing the most important thing. The police will not protect you. They will not protect these women. They will not arrest these men. And so what do? They take it upon themselves to start beating the crap out of a guy who attacked a woman. He just apparently looked like an unprovoked attack like we've seen. And this is what you'll get. Not that we want it. We don't want anything like it. I'd like for the police to actually do their jobs. And they say they can't do it. They can't do it. They can certainly arrest Daniel Penny. They can certainly march Penny off in cuffs, but they can't deal with this. I don't buy it. It's will. The cops, see, here's the issue. That's what I keep saying. Conservatives are the only group in this country keeping the country, the government actually in power because they respect it. Daniel Penny says, well, you're the cop. I guess I'm under arrest. Puts his hand behind his back. Antifa swings at cops, throws thing at cops. And the cops are like, I'm not going to try to arrest that guy. He's going to hit me. So there's two guys. There's Proud Boys, there's Antifa. Antifa says, don't you try it. The cop says, I won't. Proud Boy says, right this way, officer. You can cuff me. What do you think's going to happen? The cops gladly arrest the Proud Boys, and Antifa gets to run away and skip to go fight another day because they don't recognize the authority of the cops, and they will fight against them. And the Proud Boys recognize the cops and say, officer friendly, here's all of my information, and the cops then arrest them. Daniel Penny. Protecting people from a violent criminal. And he gets to go to jail for it. Or they try to put him in jail for it. We'll see what happens. Remarkable. And the police officers with smiles like the Joker on their faces, laughing. I mean that figuratively, obviously. With no problem whatsoever as they arrest the good guy. And they come to me and they say, Tim, you gotta back the blue, man. You got... No. We had a couple of cops on here in the culture war, And even these officers were saying, like, Tim, you get these things wrong. However, I was ousted from the department by corrupt officials in both instances. I don't think cops are all bad. I think that's silly. I think you have a negative pressure environment. That is, a cop is standing there and his boss says, arrest that man. And he goes, that guy's got a gun. That guy's going to swing at me and fight me and try and stab me. And then he goes, well, he got away, I guess. Well, I don't blame you. Wait a minute. How about that guy who just defended people on a subway? Arrest him. You got it, boss. And he walks right at Daniel Penny and says, Mr. Penny, I understand you just saved the lives of people. Now put your hands behind your back because I will destroy your life. This is what the cops are doing. And I'm supposed to sit here and defend the police. When they say, I can't go after this guy punching these women, we can't arrest him, we can't do anything about it. But Daniel Penny dares stand up and the cops will say, this one's going to be easy. I am not going to defend that. Never. You get mad at me in the comments, you complain all day and night. But when you have a system that is so broken, and again, I don't blame an individual cop. I blame a negative pressure environment. I ain't going to back the blue, though, because I'll tell you what's going to happen, because it already happened. And I've referenced this numerous times. Gavin McInnes speaking at a Republican club in New York, as is his right. Antifa surrounding the blocks around the building, the club, harassing people, threatening them. Eventually, a group of Proud Boys seeing Antifa at the end of a street are confronted with a choice. Keep trying to walk away and walk and find a way through the varying groups that are surrounding the club, or say, okay, these people are threatening us, and engage in the conflict. So they did. The Proud Boys start making their move towards Antifa. So when Antifa throws a bottle, the Proud Boys say, let's go. They fight. I think it's fair to say, antagonized by Antifa. You can make the argument for Antifa instigation, showing up to the conservative event and instigating violence. But perhaps you can say mutual combat. Proud Boys decided they were going to fight Antifa. Okay. And what happens when the police show up? The Proud Boys, strong conservative American loving individuals, say, thank you, officer, for helping us deal with this. Here's my name, date of birth, and address. And Antifa, with their masks on, scream, F you, pig, and run. So what do the cops do? They say, well, thank you all so much for letting us know what happened. We're now going to put you in prison for 4 years. Back the blue. The Proud Boys, who are being harassed and antagonized by a far-left death cult who has, under the banner of Antifa, shot and killed people before, went to prison. And then the conservatives are like, back the blue. A guy in his home in Wisconsin, BLM protesters show up screaming in front of his house. This same group had set fire to a house before. This is in Wisconsin, Milwaukee area. Might have been Madison. I think it was Milwaukee. The man brandishes a shotgun through his window. The police show up, pull him from his own home, and arrest him for doing so. We live in this world, and I warned before this happened, that when the mob comes to your house, the cops with twisted Joker smiles will be like, you, family man, you're going to jail. You know why? It is easier to arrest one man who will gladly put his hands behind his back than it would be to deal with a mob. And that's what you'll get. And that's where we are. Woman critically injured after being punched and robbed outside Queen's Church. Here we go, baby. Trump Organization former chief financial officer Alan Weisselberg sentenced to 5 months in jail. What did he do? Former chief, he sentenced to 5 months in jail after he admitted to lying during Trump's New York civil fraud trial. 5 months. How dare you lie? Donald Trump's going down. Hey, look, I'll be fair. Perjury is a crime. And then we have this guy. Brazen NYC gangbanger who's already racked up 9 arrests this year keeps getting cut loose due to woke bail reform. You will never convince me to quote unquote back the blue. It's not going to happen. And it's not because cops are good or bad. Okay. It's because the environment today exists in which a cop has a job. He's going to feed his family. He doesn't care about nothing else. He's going to take care of himself. And when his boss says, You can try to arrest a guy who's attacking women. Good luck. I hope you're ready for a fight. Or you can try to arrest Daniel Penny. He goes, Daniel Penny's easy. Conservatives, without question, get on their knees and say, thank you, officer. May I have another? And you end up with people on the right going to jail. And then you have gangbangers, criminals, woman abusers getting away with it. And it's simple. It's not just about what Democrat policy is. It is about the fact that any human being confronted with a violent psychopath or a God-fearing American Christian man who will not resist the police and backs the blue, who's he going to arrest? It's really obvious. If you have the option of the stairs or the escalator, people tend to choose the escalator. Now, I'm actually the kind of person who takes the stairs. Yeah. I mean, if I got a bunch of bags with me while I'm flying, I'll take the escalator or the elevator because you don't really have a choice. But if I'm wearing a single heavy backpack, I actually prefer the stairs. Build that strength! I was watching this commercial. I was watching Fox News. And they had a commercial for a stair mobility chairlift. And I understand many people need them. And I looked at my girlfriend and I said, I will be 90 years old and I will drag myself up the stairs screaming before I use one of those chairs. And she laughed and said, oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah, and perhaps it is just youthful exuberance and arrogance. My point is, for me, we have to make the hard choices. We have to. And the hard choice is this. If I was a cop and they said, we're going to have you arrest Daniel Penny, the guy who was protecting people on a subway from a dangerous psychopath who had attacked people before, I'd say, no. And they would say, you have to do it. It's your job. And I say, my job is to stop criminals, to enforce the law and uphold it and protect the people of the city. This man is not the person we should be arresting, and you couldn't make me do it. And then I know what would happen. I'd be ousted. The officers we had in the culture war said exactly that. They tried to get him to engage in corruption. When they said no, they kicked him out. And so be it. And that's the issue. So when people say, Tim, you're always wondering where the good cops are, you see what happens? Exactly. So why am I going to assume the cops that remain are the good cops? No, they're the bad cops. The good cops got kicked out for refusing to be evil. And here we are. Take a look at New York City. I ain't back in the blue, baby. Not happening. I don't have good answers for you because the system is broken. We want the good cops, but they're getting kicked out. I don't know what to tell you, man. It's getting bad up there. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. It is on this morning that we must pour one out for our friends in the deep state. Joe Biden has broken with Israel, saying that Netanyahu is making a mistake and calling for a ceasefire. Well, this naturally has many people pissed off, and I can only imagine that many of our deep state military-industrial complex cohorts are very upset on this day, realizing they've been running this shadow campaign to try and help Joe Biden win in November, and Joe Biden just said, look, I ain't gonna win unless I say no to Israel because of Dearborn, Michigan, because of Minnesota, and because of Gen Z breaking from the Democratic Party. Oh, poor deep state. They're now having their meetings where they're like, guys, if we want to keep the Israel campaign up, we're going to have to support Donald Trump. Ay, ay, ay. So pick your war, I guess. Donald Trump is more likely to support Israel, though not as much as the military-industrial complex would want. Trump himself has been critical of Israel. But in this war, he's saying they're losing the PR battle, which is very different from calling for a ceasefire. That being said, when it comes to Ukraine, Donald Trump's like, we are ending it and we're not getting involved. So pick your poison. If you want the war in Ukraine to continue, vote blue. If you want the war in Israel to continue, vote red. To be fair, Donald Trump likely would still pressure Israel to change their tactics. And so I don't think it's fair to say that the war would necessarily continue in the same fashion. But under Joe Biden, he is now actively calling for a ceasefire. Now, I don't think anyone literally wants war to continue. I'm joking. But there are a lot of people who are making these arguments. We have a tweet from Ben Shapiro talking about what's going on in Ukraine and in Israel and asking the question, what do you want to, if you don't want to fund these wars, what do you want to happen? Do you want Russia to just take over? Hamas to just keep attacking civilians? Well, I will answer that question, as I think it's actually a legitimate question. I really do. And we can talk about America first versus, I don't know, American international exceptionalism or whatever you want to call it. But this is big. Biden realizing he can't win an election. I'm kidding about all the deep state stuff, by the way. Biden realizing he can't win an election without the youth vote. He's already suffering in the polls, is now trying to play both sides, saying, you know, maybe we need a ceasefire. Critics are saying, yo, Hamas still has hostages. There's American citizens who are being held hostage. So what do you do? Now, most of you know I take a more America first stance in that I'm just like facepalming, like, I guess under the argument there's American citizens who are being held hostage. I believe they're dual citizens. I don't think that matters all that much, but I do think it's important to point that out. We can talk about that too. I think there's still some obligation to get the hostages back. And there's a very serious conundrum pertaining to how we handle an international conflict like this. I don't think the United States should be involved in these foreign affairs the way they are. I believe America should mind its own business and not be the world police. But, well, the reality of things is that the United States has been the world police for a long time, and now we have to deal with the ramifications of that. What that means is, in an ideal scenario, NATO pays their fair share. We negotiate treaties and peace agreements. We set up security that doesn't involve us deploying our militaries, meaning it's going to have to be, you know, in these regions, certain treaties, they're going to have to run their own security, but it's going to have to be set up in a way that you don't let the Taliban, like, just take over. Okay, I don't want to get into too much before I read the news, but we will talk about it. Here's a story from The Guardian. They report, U.S. President Joe Biden has said Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's approach to on Gaza was a mistake and urged Israel to call for a ceasefire in an interview that aired on Tuesday. Biden's comments were some of his strongest criticism yet of Netanyahu amid growing tensions over the civilian death toll from Israel's war on Hamas and dire conditions inside Gaza. Quote, I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. Biden told Univision, Spanish language TV network, when asked about Netanyahu's handling of the war. Biden reiterated that an Israeli drone attack last week that killed 7 aid workers from a U.S.-based charity in Gaza and sparked a tense phone call with Netanyahu. It was outrageous. Now, I'd like to pause and say there were 3 different vehicles in 3 different places. So it may have been one drone or whatever, but certainly these aid workers were targeted. Quote, what I'm calling for is the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. And there are hostages. There are no easy answers in war. Okay. And this is what really frustrates me about the very absolutist positions you end up getting. I can respect there's no easy answers. Absolutely. There are some people who are like, why don't you have a ceasefire? There's no such thing. There is no such thing as a ceasefire. Let me just calm everybody down for a second. These leftists are demanding a ceasefire. What they're actually saying is Israel stop firing back, because Hamas, there's no ceasefire with Hamas. They'll break it in 2 seconds. So what they're really saying is Israel stop striking Gaza. And that's fine if that's what you want. Say it. But there is nothing. Biden saying we need a ceasefire. He's basically saying Israel, hold your fire. Hamas will then start attacking you. They will use the time and resources to build up their forces. Sorry, I'm not advocating Israel do anything. I'm telling you a fact. Or I should say, a little hyperbolic, I'm telling you the most likely scenario. Israel halts, Hamas builds up. It's called war. There is no magical Skittles and rainbow world where Hamas and Israel go, why are we even fighting anymore? I don't know. Let's just be friends. Israel stops, Hamas starts. It just doesn't end. It's called war. That's the problem. This is what war is. This is why I like Donald Trump and the Abraham Accords. Now, Dave Smith, of course, says the Abraham Accords paved the way for this conflict because it put pressure on Hamas to act because they were being sidelined. I don't think that's a good enough reason to just say the Abraham Accords were bad. Normalizing economics between countries that are hostile is the first major step towards peace. And I don't know what else you do. Do you simply say, well, there's a rogue faction of terrorists who will get really angry if we have a peace deal, so just don't have the peace deal? I don't think you can do that. But I can respect absolutely that Dave is well informed on the issue. And we may disagree on the issues, but at least he knows what he's talking about. I just think, you know, we have to have a conversation about what will happen. And I know we disagree on that one. The president's remarks on a ceasefire marked a shift from his previous comments in which he said the burden lay with Hamas to agree to a truce and hostage release deal. Now, why isn't it that, you know, with Israel bombarding Gaza, why didn't Biden say Hamas needs to surrender? Why is it Israel needs to stop striking? Hamas still has hostages. I'm not saying I'm morally supporting either side. I'm saying understand this is an important context in this. You've got two warring factions. In fact, the recent conflict that we're dealing with is started by Hamas, not by Israel. People then come out and say, but Israel funded Hamas. That may be. But right now, the active conflict is because of October 7th. Hamas could surrender, but they're not going to do that. Biden also stepped up pressure on Israel to let more aid into devastated Gaza, saying it's spoken to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, and they were prepared to move this food in. So use the Rafah crossing. Egypt has a border with Gaza as well. There's no excuse to not provide for the medical and food needs of those people. It should be done now. Israel said 468 aid trucks moved into Gaza on Tuesday after 419 entered on Monday, the highest numbers in 6 months since the conflict began. However, the UN said it was still much less than the bare minimum to meet humanitarian needs. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Biden urges Israel to just call for a 6 to 8 week ceasefire. All right, there we go. There we go. This is where we're going, huh? Israel threatens powerful response in Iran's territory if it attacks from its own soil. There's no good answers here. We are facing down the barrel of World War III. Don't take my word for it. TheWeek.com says, are we heading towards World War III? Because it's not just Putin. It's not just North Korea. It's not just China. It's Iran. What do you do? Iran's basically threatening Israel. But this is, it's all excuses. None of these countries like Israel. They don't want Israel to exist. They do not want the establishment of a Jewish state. All this, you know, look, it really is just that simple. Then you get Iran finding excuses. So they help supply weapons to various militias in the Middle East, as well as Hamas. And then when Israel retaliates, Iran says, oh, no, look what you've done. Welcome to war, my friends. The naive idea. These protesters the other day in the Senate cafeteria got arrested, saying like, no one eats until there's a ceasefire, or whatever chant they had. These people live in Wally World. They really, really do. They don't understand that in war, there's no simple we stop fighting. Let's take a look at the Civil War. We talked about it last night because yesterday was the anniversary of the Confederate surrender at Appomattox. And I love the urban legends. Apparently, Grant says, it's all romantic. They sat down. They said, OK, if you guys surrender, we won't prosecute you and you can keep your mounts and your weapons. Just stop fighting. And Lee was like, OK, because they were losing. And he's like, he knew they were going to lose. And so he just said, fine, no prosecutions. We'll call it a day. These were people who had fought together, trained together and shared their ideals. Except for, well, Not necessarily slavery. I know everybody says like the issue of slavery. That's not why Grant and Lee were having a meeting. Maryland, I believe Delaware, they were still slave states in the United States. But the issue was that these were guys who had trained at the same places, who shared most of their worldview. And so they said, we can stop fighting. You will lose on this one. Now, imagine you have two guys who don't speak the same language, who believe in different gods. You know, we were reading that story the other day. And I said, I don't think that could happen today. We got that Civil War movie coming out tomorrow, the A24 Civil War movie. Andy Ngo and Taylor Hansen, shout out. They've got footage in the film, I hear. And if there were to be a civil war today, it would be more like, I don't think it would be exactly like Israel and Palestine. It'd be more like that than the American Civil War in 1861. you basically have a bunch of sovereign states. They don't really view each other as the same places. They view themselves as part of a union, right? Right now, if you're from Virginia or Texas, you're still American. Back then, yeah, but you were a Texan or you were a Virginian. After the Civil War, that all changed. So you had people who disagreed on the strength of the union, and one side said, we're going to form our own. We're going to break away, and we're going to create a confederacy. And slavery was an underlying principle of the Confederacy. It was like it was in their founding documents. And the union just said, we don't care about none of that. You ain't leaving because we're one nation. They agreed on most things. Today, you're not going to convince a Trump supporter who's in an active conflict with the far left. They're not going to agree. Far left is going to come out and advocate for weird sex stuff with kids because they're creepy pedos. They want to bring this sex stuff into schools. There's an impasse. You get a guy, two guys who both train at West Point, and they're like, family, faith, religion. Well, we agree. I just think I should run my own government. No, you're a part of the union. They agree on most things. They can live with each other. And even then, they were shooting at each other in one of the most bloody battles the world's ever seen. But it ended. What do you think's going to happen when you have the far left and the right in this country? I don't see that being a possibility. Now, as for Israel and Palestine, it's basically what it is. Opposing worldviews with no reconciliation. They do not grow up in the same way. They do not believe in the same things. They do not like each other. And they don't want... I mean, I'll say this. Israel is not, you know, targeting and blowing up all these Middle Eastern countries. They're mostly minding their own business and getting attacked. And the argument from the people who don't like Israel is that Israel should not exist. And they say that if you believe Israel has a right to defend itself, you're a Zionist. Yo, I wasn't alive when the Balfour Declaration happened. Israel is a place with people and there's people there. I ain't know nothing about nothing. Okay. Call it Zionism because I don't want it, because I'm like, well, they're a country. They have people. They call that Zionism. That's insane. Ben Shapiro brings up an interesting point. Ben Shapiro roasts Marjorie Taylor Greene and Republican clowns for threatening Mike Johnson and holding GOP hostage over Ukraine. Really? So Ben Shapiro tweets this. Let's grab this tweet. He says, so much of our politics is about deliberately ignoring the underlying question. For those who want a ceasefire in Gaza, the underlying question is, do you want Hamas to survive as an operational entity? For those who want defunding of Ukraine, the underlying question is, do you want Russia to ingest Ukraine? I'll answer this. I don't care about a ceasefire in Gaza at all. There's a clip, Coleman Hughes talking to Joe Rogan. Makes a really interesting point. He said that Hamas has perfected the blending of civilian population and military. So Israel, of course, when they want to attack Hamas, there's no urban distinction between who's Hamas and who's civilian for the most part. They can certainly get intelligence, target leaders, and make surgical cuts, but civilians will die in the process because it is urban civilian population centers that also have Hamas bases. Hamas operates a military base under hospital, schools, media centers intentionally. They want to create a scenario. It's a modern warfare tactic because of our delicate sensibilities when it comes to war that force your enemy to bomb civilians because they're actually targeting you and civilians get killed in the collateral damage. I'll tell you this about Israel, Palestine. Don't know, don't care. It's not America. Have a nice day. So, Ben, I can't answer your question about do you want Hamas to survive as an operational entity? But I can go a little bit further. Hamas should not survive. These are brutal, murderous individuals. And I firmly believe that the best future for the Palestinians is one where Hamas does not exist. If Hamas did not exist and the Palestinians were amicable to treaties and negotiations, the conflict would be over. The problem? It means acknowledging the establishment of a Jewish state. The Hamas charter literally called for killing Jews. It's not an exaggeration. It was a passage from the Hadith that says that there will not, what is it? The end will not come or peace will not come until the trees and the rocks yell there are Jews hiding and to come and hunt them down or something like that. They took it out a few years ago, but it's not like anyone believes that worldview changed. Now, as for Russia, I would like to see Ukraine defunded. And the question Ben asked, do you want Russia to ingest Ukraine? I have a very complex and sophisticated answer for you, Ben, with all due respect. I don't care. That's it. I don't know why I should care about Ukraine. I've been there several times. I know people from there. It is sad what is happening. The war is awful. They're conscripting women and older men. Terrible. And they don't want to be, they don't want their land taken by Russia. That sucks. There are a lot of countries in the world that have border disputes. The next thing you know, we're going to be getting into what, a conflict over Kashmir? Am I supposed to be angry about that? Dude, I don't care. Am I supposed to be upset about Burma? I don't care. Look, I don't want to live in a world where we're spending all this money to go gallivanting around the planet because other people are fighting about things that have nothing to do with us. But that's the name of the game, I guess. Now, here's what I'll tell you. I'll cut you a deal. All right. I'll cut you a deal, deep state. You show me the aliens from the Galactic Federation who require a unified one world government in order for Earth to be admitted. And we can have a conversation about creating a one world government. If you know what I'm saying, the aliens are saying they got all this great technology. I'm kidding, by the way. My point is, there is nothing available to us right now to justify any of this. Suppose fears of World War III. Oh, no, if Russia takes Ukraine and then someone nukes somebody, it's like, dude, I don't see it. I don't see that path forward. What I see is the Donbass region, Russia's fears that NATO is encroaching on its border, and it is. Russia trying to secure its access to the Black Sea because it ships a lot of oil through the Bosphorus, Turkey, into the Mediterranean. And they don't want to lose access. It's that, there you go. They don't want to lose access. And they're willing to fight for it. The West is trying to admit Ukraine into NATO and the EU, pressing up against Russia's borders and telling Russia they have no say in how these things are run. Putin claimed that he met with Clinton and said that he wanted to join NATO. And Clinton said, yeah, actually, maybe you could. Then came back later and said, no, you can't. Why? Russia's too big. Russia joins NATO. They could actually start teaming up with other smaller countries. And then the United States loses its massive power, control over the bloc. And that's where we are. For this, is it worth World War III? Well, the joke I made is that were there a galactic federation of aliens, they certainly would not admit a warring planet. I mean, think about it this way. NATO wants to bring Ukraine into the fold, but Ukraine's in active conflict right now. So, and with an outside force, imagine you have a state that's in total civil war. You can't. Who do you negotiate with? So I'm kidding once again about the Galactic Federation. I don't see a legitimate reason for any of their strategies or plans. Now, perhaps there is a world in which there is a unifying global authority of some sort that can adjudicate but not enforce. And that would be more like a Supreme Court and less like an international policing body. My view of this is, how do we prevent war? Well, you can't, because fighting happens. Gang territory happens. You unify the planet under one single governing authority, and there will still be regional conflict. That's just it. Unless you shake up the world and homogenize it. Actually, no, even then, you will have conflict. There's nothing you can do about it. People fight. Animals fight. Fighting happens. I think maybe there's a world in which there's an international court of appeals or something. And instead of fighting and going to war, you go to court. And the court will then issue a ruling. That would require recognition of the court's authority. So I don't know how you get there. Because what we don't want is an international policing body that can enter our borders and tell us what to do. Therein lies the big challenge, I guess. Well, the one thing I can say is, it's really funny that right now, depending on who you pick, you're going to get different outcomes in foreign policy. Trump is certainly more pro-Israel. He's willing to say it. He's been critical, but not near what Joe Biden just said with a ceasefire. Should be interesting. Should be interesting. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then. We must contend with one of two realities. The reason why we get so many stories about women in the gym that are snooty, entitled, and causing problems is because either men are misogynists, and when men film their skin-tight pants and their butts, nobody cares, or women are frequently in these gyms entitled and causing problems. And I mean that seriously. It's one of two. Maybe there is a bias. I think many women are going to say, it's not fair. These gym bros show up, they do these things, and then nobody complains. But when a woman gets mad, I think for the most part, guys aren't really filming themselves work out. But I want to tell you about the reality that men face, too. See, you know, we here at Timcast, we got a personal trainer now. We're doing group sessions for the entire staff. All are welcome to join to get fit once per week. And then the rest up to you, really. And then for myself, my girlfriend and I, we are doing 3 days a week of personal training. And on top of that, I skate. I've been skating every single day, at least 2 hours. In the past week, I did take just Friday off. Thought that would be appropriate to have one day where I didn't skate, but at least 2 hours every single day. So intense workouts over the past week. And we got to give a shout out to Fitcast IRL. We're shouting out everybody. You watch this show, you watch Timcast IRL. The goal is to get fit by November. And I'm not saying get swole. I'm saying get fit. So if you find that you are overweight or whatever, make better choices. I think, what is the app? MyFitnessPal is the app that we use, that I use. It's awesome. It does cost money, but you get to track. Actually, I haven't even put in my food today. I'll do that right here. So today I had, we go to the most frequent. You enter in the foods you ate. I had a protein shake for breakfast. I had a half cup of rice flour, some butter, some mixed berry preserves, and then I actually had a... the protein shake I had today, I actually used the Fairlife strawberry milk. There it is. And let's see if I got that in. And then I track all of that. And there you go. And I think I got everything in there. It looks kind of weird. What is it? 50 grams of protein, 20 grams of fat, 72 carbs. Sounds about right. We're getting fit, ladies and gentlemen. And so I'll give them a shout out. We're going to read that chat. But let's talk about this story, because it's a question of, is it that women are entitled in these gyms and causing problems? I mean, it's like never ending, never ending. Check this out. The New York Post says a personal trainer who is recording her workout at a gym has been slammed for her wild response when another gym goer interrupted her video. The fitness coach, who posts under the handle at Shaped by Shiana, has captured the attention of gym fans after she shared a clip of herself performing a set of deadlifts. But the footage has gone viral for all the wrong reasons, after many noticed Shiana shoo away a fellow gym goer who stepped in front of her camera while attempting to grab weights from a nearby rack. Dude, I can't handle this, okay? The reason why I want to talk about this is because as I've begun to lift, yesterday, personal trainer was unable to come. So when he said, you know what he said? He said, I get a message that says do 100 push-ups. And I went, yes. And then I immediately started doing push-ups. And I broke them up throughout the day. I did my first 50 push-ups throughout the day periodically. Just whenever I had time, I'd be like, I'm standing here, push-ups. And then, however, by the time the show wrapped, I had only done 60. So I had to do 40 in the next half an hour before bed. But that is, I will not back down. And in this, I have found that, let me grab this video for you. I'll play this video in a second. What I found is when I'm getting to my limit, I grunt. You know, Ian was pointing it out. He was like, I hear Tim in the room going like I don't know. It's like a natural thing where it's like, it just happens. And I remember I used to go to Planet Fitness, which everyone hates now. And is it Planet Fitness? I think it's Planet Fitness. Let me make sure this is right. Because if I'm getting it wrong. What is this? Yeah, Planet Fitness Lunk Alarm, a loud siren where they mock you when you're working out. And I'm like, I don't want to be there. And they have this thing on the wall where you like crank and it goes, wee. And then like, they're like, if you're a lunk and you're dropping your weights or grunting, we're going to sound the alarm. And I'm like, ah, okay, I guess you're better off buying your own weights and going home. Like, dude, the room we have where we're lifting, it's a separate room. Like, I'm not grunting when I lift because I'm trying to signal to everyone in the building that I'm lifting. It's because I'm feeling that strain and I'm trying to push as hard as I can. And so I see stuff like this and I'm like, This is why I hate all this, because I feel like most guys don't care. All right. So here's the video. It's just a quick little one from Joey Swole.
And he's going to lift his camera up. I'm going to take a quick Snapchat with the with the finger. Put it right back down.
Oh, I think this is not the right video. What is it? Oh, that was a different one. Here we go. Here's the video in question. So here's a woman. She's deadlifting, I guess. She's mad at this guy.
A lot to go over in this video, so please bear with me. First off, just because you're filming at the gym does not mean that everybody else has to stop their workout just for you, including putting their weights back. And secondly, you're a personal trainer and coach. How do you not know better than to work out directly in front of a dumbbell rack, let alone film?
Dude, okay, this is what gets me. This is this entitlement that these people can come into a gym, which is a shared space that everybody's paying for, and think that they can cordon off this area and it now belongs to them. This is the problem I have with these gyms. There's this viral video, Libs of TikTok posted it, where a guy's like, day 18 of scanning in with literally anything other than an ID, and he has a box of Cheerios, and he walks past the counter and scans the box of Cheerios barcode, and it goes boop, and he just walks in, and no one says anything because they don't care. Yo, there's a lot of really bad stuff with Planet Fitness, but I got to say, in my opinion, I think Planet Fitness is one of the biggest problems with working out in terms of like getting people to actually want to do it, and it's probably because many of these gyms know that people will sign up and then never come back. And actually, that's good for the gym. Here's the thing. If you have a business and you have like a gym, you're going to have wear and tear. You're going to have maintenance, cleaning, right? So if people sign up for, I don't know what, 10, 20 bucks a month and then never come back, that's good. So what do? You shame them and embarrass them. But don't worry. They signed up with your ridiculous plan and they can't quit. But they don't want to be there because people are filming, making fun of them. You got dudes that go into girls' bathroom. You got dudes that are doing weird stuff that I don't even want to say because trying to keep it family friendly. But this is the problem. And the lunk alarm stuff, too. It's like, look, man, I don't care what you do. I go to a skate park. People are yelling when they stub their toe. I go to the gym. If you're grunting or whatever, fine. Don't drop the weights, though, because that's just, you know, like, you actually just want to lift them anyway, but don't be overly aggressive with it. Joey goes on to say, this man is nothing but nice to you, and you decided to put up this post anyway. Seriously, I hope this gym sees this and kicks you out. And they did. She got banned, apparently. He also called out another post shared to her account in which she shamed a man using a treadmill on a steep incline, which she posted along with the message, please don't be this person leaning back on treadmills. Mr. Swole's video has been viewed over 20 million times in 24 hours and have asked almost 20,000 comments. Most agree with Mr. Swole, calling for gyms to ban recording of any kind, hear, and stating they felt bad for the man she scolded. OMG, I wanted to cry. Poor darling man. You go to a gym and you're like, I'm going to lift some weights, and some lady's filming herself, and it's always these women. Why is it? He was nicer than I would have been, remarked another. As one shared, he was so nice, makes me so sad. This is so crazy and sad. Bless this man's heart. Shiana hasn't responded to the video, but both her Instagram and TikTok accounts have been deactivated. Wow. The subject of banning people filming their workouts using cameras and tripods has become a heated point of contention for those who regularly frequent fitness facilities. Now, I'll tell you this. I ain't going to none of these gyms. But they really should not allow filming, okay? And then we have this. According to MSNBC, if you exercise and work out, you're a Nazi! Oh, I love it. This one's from last year. We all remember this one. So here's Kit Catalina on X, who has a community post in Fitcast IRL. 208 days to the presidential election. That's 6 times the time needed to train for a 5K. That's 3 times the time needed to complete a workout program. And it's 8 times the time needed to train to do 50 push-ups. Any percent. Get fit for November. Fitcast IRL, Timcast IRL, at Timcast. Shout out. Thank you so much to Kit Catalina and to everybody who's decided to get fit. Look, you know, I've been skateboarding my whole life. And let me tell you my story. So I'm a little kid. I was a normal little kid. And my parents, my mom got me rollerblades. Rollerblades were big in the early 90s. And so for some reason, I got a pair of K2 Backyard Bobs. And this was back when rollerblading, doing like grinds and stuff was getting big. And I didn't really do much with it. And for the most part, I was a normal little kid. And then the freshman year of high school, I gained a bunch of weight. I don't know why. I think I was just depressed and I hated school. And so I gained a lot of weight when I was 14. And this is around the time it's literally right around the time I just started skateboarding. And I immediately started to rip the weight clean off. And I don't know how long it took, but it was super quick. I lost all the weight and became super skinny. And from then on, I skated all the time, been skateboarding quite a bit since then. And depending on the period, you know, the thing about skateboarding is that it's an intense workout. It's like, you know, when I'm on the mini ramp, I can hit VO2 max. My heart rate is at like 180, and I'm 38, so that's like decently high for my age. I think that's around my limit. They say, I don't know, whatever. And you know, the weight just melts off, right? But then there are periods where you don't have time, and so when we were living in Deptford, in the Jersey area, I actually got down to like 165 or something, because I was skating in the backyard every day after work, and this is before TimCast IRL. And then when we started TimCast IRL and moved out here, there was nowhere to skate or exercise, and so I slowly just started gaining weight. See, what happened was, when I was skating at my peak, I was eating like 8,000 calories a day. I'm not kidding. I am absolutely not kidding. I don't know, maybe 8,000 seems high, but I don't think it was. I would eat like whole pizzas for lunch. And so what happened is I would go to the skate park 9 a.m. and I would skate until 6 p.m. nonstop. I had to bring like 4 beanies and like 5 sweatbands, drenched in sweat, slamming Gatorades and just dousing myself in calories. And when I first got out there, I was, I don't know, I probably like 170, and then I dropped to 160. And when I stopped skating, you know, for whatever reason, or slowed skating down, my eating habits relatively stayed relatively the same. So I'm eating a ton of calories. And so then, you know, coming here to West Virginia with nowhere to skate, I within like, I think it was like a year and a half, I was up to 200 pounds. And now I'm at 180. And that's a combination of I started working out lifting, so I am putting on muscle mass and shaving off body fat. Last year, I was down to 168, and that was because I was skating every single day, super high intense, and I was cutting out all the carbs. So now what I'm doing is not intended to be like, oh man, I was 200 pounds. I should probably stop eating sugar and eat better. Now it's just, I got to lift. I got to be responsible. And so I think that's the plan. And so I'm around 180 right now. And so it's like, it's always a battle if you know, I'm eating a lot more protein, a ton of protein, and lifting more. So I'm gaining muscle mass at the same time, reducing fat percentage. So it's like, I'm not really concerned about overall weight. I just care about body fat percentage. The funny thing is I got one of those fancy scales that measures like body fat and all that stuff. And it's like, everything is good or better, but you're overweight. And I'm like, wait, hold on, what? It's like, yeah, your body fat percentage is average, but slightly low. And your muscle mass is fantastic. And, you know, your caloric intake, all these things, they're really, really great. And you weigh too much. And I'm like, well, what if everything is good, what am I supposed to do? I guess I should lose body fat. But I'm not really hyper-focused on that. So let me tell you, I'll tell you my macros right now. That's what the old trainers got me at. 229 carbs, 62 fat, and 186 protein is what I'm currently at. And it's high-intensity workout stuff. Now, let me tell you this. That's just me. I enjoy doing it. Lifting feels great. Like when you're just pushing and you get to the point where you can't do it anymore and you're like, oh, man, it really does feel good. I can't even begin to describe. Like if people came out and told me how good lifting felt, instead of saying, like, you need to get fit and start, like, well, I was talking to Joe Rogan a while ago. He's like, hey, man, you got to start lifting. And I'm like, I know. Everybody says you got to start lifting. But if Joe said, bro, trust me, lift for like a half an hour and it blows your mind. You're going to feel like $1 million. No kidding. Like euphoria, like you're on drugs almost. And it's like, well, I've gotten the runner's high. I used to ride my bike to work through New York. So I'd have to go over the Manhattan Bridge. Was it Manhattan Bridge? Or it might've been Williamsburg Bridge. I think it was Williamsburg Bridge. And so that 10, it was like, it was, I don't know, maybe might've been like I don't know how many miles it was, maybe 7 miles, but up and down the bridge to get up that bridge, you're just pushing to the point where you're about to break. And then it's just like runner's high. You know, you get that endorphin release. I recommend this for all of you, okay? We got 208 days to the election. You don't need to run a 5K. I don't think you need to complete any insane, rigorous workout programs. And I don't think you need to do 50 push-ups. I think you should. But my whole thing was go for walks. A 15-minute walk every day could change your life. You're getting more sun. You're going to get more vitamin D. It's going to be better for you. Fresh air. Think about what you're eating. See, the thing about, you know, in skateboarding, there's this funny thing where skateboarders are like, some days you have good days and some days you have bad days. I've not had a bad day in a long time. Why? Because I'm properly tracking my micro and macronutrients. And it really was it. What I learned, perhaps there were days when I was skating and I'm like, for some reason, I'm having a bad day. I don't get it. Yeah, because I ate garbage the day before. Too much salt, not enough protein. Now everything's balanced. My salt is way down, which seriously matters. It's kind of crazy. Eating way better, getting a lot more rice. I cut out gluten. I think that's what was causing me the problem. Seriously, every time I eat bread, it messes me up. And so elimination diet plus proper macro tracking. And now I think I've figured it out. Figured it out. And I feel like $1 million. I've been skating every day and feeling really good and landing new tricks and getting it done. So here's what we can do. Everybody's talking about, what can I do to change the world? What can I do? Well, you can take Jordan Peterson's advice and clean your room before you try to change the world. And that is, get fit, get healthy. And you know what? For a lot of guys, it's going to make you more attractive. It's going to make you more confident. It's going to feel better. It's going to make you more effective in many ways. I mean, and don't get me wrong, like ladies, you can get fit too. We want to be the best versions of ourselves. If we truly believe that this country is worth saving and there are deep problems with it, then Jordan Peterson's advice of one, cleaning your own room implies get healthy. And two, find the heaviest thing you can carry and carry it. He's right. Not that Jordan Peterson's the guy who's lifting, because he certainly does not appear to be, but he's totally right about this. And then I love the one where he says, don't bother kids when they're skateboarding. That's right. So I'm going to lift heavy things. I'm going to clean my own room and skate. And all serious says, my girlfriend cleans my room for me. But, you know, that's a whole other story. It's always great to have someone there who helps support you. And we work out together. And she actually helps. She actually cooks the food and she makes. I'm actually convinced when we on Fridays, we do like sushi day. And I'm pretty sure the next day when I skate, like I feel okay. But my Saturdays are always a little rough. But when I skate on weekdays, it's almost $1 million. And I'm like, I know what it is. It's Allison's cooking. She does like the healthy fats and the right balance of everything with the rice. And then I feel like I could punch a bear. Ugh. It feels great, man. Let's get it. This is the, we're going to cut out the BS. We're going to shame the shamers. The people who want to film in the gyms and tell you you're wrong. No, we ain't doing none of that. We're cheering for everybody. Everybody. Look, man, here's the way it should be. And here's the way it typically is. These people, like these ladies who want to mock you and shame you, and they want to insult you when you go to the gym, none of that. My experience, you go to a skate park. Let's say you're trying to figure out how to get fit. I can't tell you much about anything else, but I assume it's the same in most places because dudes are always trying to encourage other people. Sometimes they fight. I get it. But I tell you this. You go to a skate park and you've never skated before and you're trying to learn and you're watching. I always say, first, you do want to be careful. Because if you're in the way of an obstacle, you become the obstacle. So you don't want to do that. But I tell you this, if you show up to a skate park, no matter who you are, how old you are, whatever, you could be 400 pounds. You walk in, or you could be scrawny. You could be 5'3" and 100 pounds soaking wet. You walk up to any of these local skaters and say, hey guys, my name's so-and-so. I never skated before. I really want to. I'm wondering if you guys could tell me, give me some pointers on how I can use the park, right? And what I should do to start. Any skateboarder who hears that is going to get so insanely excited. Because when someone asks you for help, I want to skate. They're basically saying, you, sir, you are the great skateboarder. Teach me your ways. And for the skater, and I feel this is true for like any sport, it's validation of your skills and the hard work you put through, like the training you did. And so it feels good. You're like, I will absolutely help you. I worked really hard to get where I am. And you have acknowledged my abilities, which I will now train you. And so my whole life, you know, I'm a teenager, I'm skating at the skate park, a mom comes in, she's like, my kids don't know how to skate, would you mind teaching them? And we were like, yeah, of course. Dude, it feels so good to have someone recognize the hard work you've put in. Even if you've only been skating for a little bit, let's say you're skating for 6 months, you can ollie, that's what we call it when you jump. You're getting a little bit in shape, you're riding around, you're doing kick turns, that's when you turn around on a ramp. And then someone else comes in and says to you, whoa, can you teach me how to do this? And now you have become the master. I say all of this to encourage you to get fit, to eat healthy, to feel better. And that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to wrap this one up. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out. And I'll see you all then. My, how the tables have turned. You guys remember that Bill O'Reilly thing where he was like, sun goes up, sun goes down. You can't explain that. Tide goes in, tide goes out. You can't explain that. And this dude on his show is flabbergasted, like, are you being serious? And he's like, yeah, you know, tide goes in, tide goes out. You can't explain it. And he was like, we explained it 500 years ago. Well, here we go. It is the Democrats' turn. Democrat Rep. Sheila Jackson Lee tells students the moon is made up mostly of gases. I didn't believe it. When I saw this story, I was like, no, 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 no. She must be very wrong about this. Perhaps they were confused, and she's referring to, I don't know, the sun, which is a ball of plasma, so not literally gases, but it is hydrogen, plasma, and helium. And I guess it's, I'm not going to pretend to be an astrophysicist, even having a basic understanding. But I can tell you, I believe the sun is hydrogen, plasma, and that there is a fusion process where it does produce helium. I only know this from ancillary reading. But, of course, the sun is a ball of plasma, high energy density. And the moon, of course, is made up of rocks. I don't know the exact chemical composition of the moon, but I know that it is a physical body and not gas. So when I saw this, I couldn't believe she actually said it. I'm like, they must be confusing what she said. I'm going to play the clip for you.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
Wait, the energy of the moon at night? Okay, now we can chalk that one up to perhaps she means the energy of the sun's rays reflected off the moon, giving us light.
Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
Wait, what?
And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
What? Okay, all right, hold on. Look, what we think we know versus what we know versus what is true, right? These are serious questions. And there are always questions about the nature of the universe, and you always must have a healthy dose of skepticism. That is, when someone says, Tim, the moon is a giant rock that was formed due to a collision on the Earth, which separated it, or something like that, I can say, okay, you know, I accept your explanation. But I do know that explanations throughout history have been wrong, so it could be something else. But I'll go with it for now because it is the widely accepted scientific explanation. I am not a scientist. Or I suppose it's fair to say that to a certain degree I am, because I had people argue. It just really depends on what you do. I mean, having worked on technology and invented and coded streaming technology and stuff, fine. But I'm not an active scientist in any capacity, just more like a hacker. So I think there's a difference. But hackers actually get offended. They're like, no, you are. We're scientists. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. But I don't work in a lab or anything like that. So I'll take the word of the scientists. That's why I'm like, I think the pollution of humans is actually causing a massive detriment to this planet. And you don't need that many humans for that to be the case. And I'm not, my only concern with the climate change thing is I certainly think human pollution, be it carbon or otherwise, is going to negatively impact the biome. But then tell me why they're buying beachfront properties, right? Not trusting a politician is different from questioning whether or not their arguments make sense. But anyway, let's play more.
The gas is such that we could do that. The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable. And you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
That's right. NASA is going back to the moon. Ah, okay, here he goes. She says, Obviously, I misspoke and meant to say the sun. But as usual, Republicans are focused on stupid things instead of stuff that really matters. What can I say, though? Foolish thinkers lust for stupidity. Oh, I love this. All right. All right. Let's try this one, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe that this lady actually meant the sun? Okay. Okay. Sheila Jackson Lee. The only thing she has to say is that she is very, very dumb. Because now I'm going to play that clip for you again. And let's actually replace when she says the moon. Let's say the sun.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night.
You have the energy of the sun at night, she's saying. Okay.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. And sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle.
So she's certainly talking about the moon there, but let's say she meant the energy of the sun, right?
Which is made up mostly of gases.
Okay, wait a minute. What? Which part of that did you accidentally mean the sun? Are you saying you go out at night and look at a full sun? I go out at night and look at a full sun for the energy. Wait, what?
You have the moon at night.
So you have the sun at night.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
And sometimes you've heard the word full sun. No.
Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
Made up mostly of gases. Okay, the sun is.
And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
On the sun? Lady, what are you talking about? You're claiming now you misspoke and you meant to say the sun? You think humans could live on the sun? This isn't Futurama. I love Futurama had that joke where they were watching TV and it's like, and now back to real world, the sun. And then you just hear a guy go, I'm burning to death. Okay, in reality, if you were on the sun, you would simply not exist. Because before you got anywhere near it, you would vaporize. We believe she meant the sun. She said they should be focusing on issues like prenatal care. Also, I care more about the children, blah, blah, blah. Chris Dorsey on Twitter says, how are these misspoken words? A full moon is a complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. How could we as humans live on the moon? The gas is such we can do that. I meant to say the sun. That's a hell of an attempt at a spin. How can we live on the sun? We're going to the sun. Oh, man. How are we going to live on the sun, Sheila? Look, I'm not going to spare Bill O'Reilly for his sun goes up, sun goes down. Is that? Let me make sure I get that right. It's been so long ago. Sun goes up, Bill O'Reilly. That was great. The tide. You can't explain that. I know he said tide goes in, tide goes out, but I thought he said sun goes up, sun goes down. Oh, man, the video's gone. What does he say? The videos are all unavailable. Let's see. So, yes, the sun goes up, the sun goes down. Apollo, and someone wrote, Apollo takes care of that. That's right. Where do you find the actual video? I think it's gone. It's been too long. It's been much too long. This was, how long ago was this? What year? I can't even find it anymore. Maybe I should search for Tide. Bill O'Reilly Tide. Tidal Bore, 2011. Oh, look at me pulling up Slate. The far left, bad astronomy. They wrote, look, I know Bill O'Reilly is a far right ideologue who couldn't grasp reality with 100 meters of Velcro and ton of crazy glue. Here we are. Blah, blah, blah. See, the video has been taken down. It's gone from everywhere. He hasn't discovered Google. Do they have the quote from him? God did it. God did it. Okay, they don't even have the quote from him. I can't even get that's crazy. It's basically gone. You guys remember this. The Bill O'Reilly can't explain that meme. It was a big meme. How'd the moon get there? Who put it there? Oh, that's a good one. What is this? Remember last month when Bill O'Reilly tried to prove the existence of God by pointing out the rising and falling of the tides? Tide goes in, tide goes out. You can't explain that. The tides are caused by the moon's gravitational effect on Earth's rotation. In fairness to O'Reilly, this has only been known for about 300 years and was first explained by Isaac Newton. They have a video here, How Did the Moon Get His Media Matters? I don't know if I care about that one. How'd the moon get there? Oh, is this okay? Let's roll with it. You know, look, this is a long time ago. And the party switched, I guess. Now you've got the Democrats saying we could live on the sun or something. This is from a long time ago. You remember this one? A few weeks ago, Bill O'Reilly was talking with an atheist, David Silverman. He said, where'd the moon come from? O'Reilly's response to the pinheads who criticized him. Oh, heavens. You see, you know, look, this is why you didn't have me back then. Okay, Bill O'Reilly comes out and says, where's the moon? I'm like, you don't have to believe modern science. You can certainly be skeptical. And they say that billions or whatever years ago, there was a meteoric strike on the Earth, which ripped a chunk off, which eventually over time, due to gravity, became round or something like that. Let's actually pull up the explanation for the moon from Wikipedia, because that's the greatest source, right? The moon. Moon disambiguation. Now, would you look at the regular moon? And what are they naming etymology? I don't care about that. Let's say the formation. They suggest the moon formed 50 million years ago and after the origin of the solar system. Several formation mechanisms have been proposed, but none satisfactorily explains the features of Earth-Moon system. A fission of the Earth crust, blah, 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 centrifugal force require heat. We get it, we get it, we get it. The prevailing theory is that the Earth-Moon system formed out of a giant impact of a Mars-sized body named Theia with the proto-Earth. The oblique impact blasted material into orbit about the Earth, and the material accreted and formed the moon. Now, I think it's fair to point out, we don't actually know. That's fair. How'd the moon get there? The reason why I don't accept the how the moon got there thing is that we have actively presented theories, hypotheses, as to how the moon got there. But I'm not just here to rag on Bill O'Reilly for something he said 13 years ago. I'm here to rag on a Democrat for something she said the other day, that the moon was made of gas. And these are the Democrats you get to rely on as they burn this country to the ground. Thank you all so much. For all of you who ragged on Bill O'Reilly, you have to own this one. Next segment's coming up at 8 p.m. tonight over at youtube.com/TimcastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then.